Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey son, Sveison, how is it going? Many thanks for tuning into Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. I'm your host, Jorgen Sundberg, and this podcast covers all things social to keep you in the know-how. And of course, I'm coming to you from Link Humans Global HQ Towers in a now sweltering London. At last, finally, summer has arrived. Not sure exactly what happened to spring, but the weather basically switched straight from winter to summer. Not that I'm complaining, I'm merely observing Mother Nature. It's the second week of May 2016, and very excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Dermid Russell, and we're going to talk about employee reviews, transparency, and what the name Glassdoor actually means. More on that shortly. It's the penultimate week here in the old office. It's nice and hot, and the fans are literally on heavy rotation. And in the midst of this, our community, SM London, Social Media London, has been nominated for the best UK community by New Media Europe. So this is decided by voting. And I believe we're currently in the lead, or we're in second place. So if you enjoy our community, Social Media London, please consider giving us a vote. I'll put the link in the show notes, or you could just find it on the SM London hashtag. So hashtag SM London. Please give us a vote if it adds value to your life. Now, do you know anyone that ought to be interviewed on this podcast? If you want to nominate someone, a friend or a colleague or a client or even yourself, get in touch. Let me know. I'm on jorgen@linkhumans.com. That's my email address. You'll find me on a selection of social networks, and I look forward to hearing from you. Right. Guess what? It's time for a tip of the week. So with me today is Phoebe Spinks.
Hi, Jorgen. How are you?
Very good, thank you. And you're heading up, you're the editor for Undercover Recruiter.
That is correct. It's a pleasure to be on board.
Great. So what's the tip of the week?
So this tip is the CRM system called HubSpot. So it's a free system. It allows you to manage all of your clients, prospects and your deal pipeline in the one place. And it also allows you to track your progress using a range of different analytics and activity reports.
Okay, so most listeners to this podcast will be familiar with HubSpot as a marketing automation tool, but this version is all about CRM.
That's right. So the way you would start is by adding a contact, and in there you would record all of their information. You would set reminders for yourself so you can check in with them down the track. It helps you sort of to keep the relationship with that person alive. You can also connect your email address to that profile. So any correspondence between yourself and the customer are being recorded there for future reference. And you can also sync it with your calendar. So any appointments are all being recorded there as well. And probably the best bit about HubSpot is its ability to track your deals. So you would put a status on any particular deal, whether it's just at inquiry stage or whether it's progressed further than that. And it just allows you to be able to sort of look at your deal pipeline and see how much of that is actually going to convert and how soon.
Yeah, and just to clarify, who are the contacts in the CRM system?
The contacts would be customers or potential customers.
Okay, and you just add them whenever you speak to them.
Yeah, that's right. And if the email correspondence comes first, there is actually a way as well to sort of pull that information from your emails and create a profile from that.
Great. So where can our listeners find the HubSpot CRM?
It's an easy one, at HubSpot.com.
HubSpot.com, and I've just clicked on it, /products/CRM. So it's important to click on CRM and not the marketing automation or the sales tool, because they're different products.
That's right.
That's right. Thank you, Phoebe.
Thanks, Jorgen.
Okay, so with that, it's time to transition to this week's interview all about employer transparency. Let me patch in London via Dublin via San Francisco. Dermot Russell, how are you doing?
Great, thanks.
Excellent. Now, can you tell us about Glassdoor and what do you do there?
Yeah, sure. So at Glassdoor, we really believe that where you work matters. You know, you spend a lot of time at work. And so we're trying to change the way that people find jobs and employers. What we want to do is put information into the hands of job seekers and help them make better decisions about where they go next. In fact, that's actually our mission. It's helping people find a job and a company that they love. What we do to do this is basically we get a ton of information from our users about their work experiences, salaries, what are the company cultures like, the interview process, and even little things like the details that a company offers. The benefits that a company offers. And like when you take that all together, we've got about 11 million insights today about life in over 500,000 companies across 190 countries. In terms of my role, it's driving international expansion. We started in the UK in 2008, and now we're in 12 countries in total. That's most of the ones across Northern Europe. So UK, Ireland, France and Germany and the Netherlands are the key ones. And it's a fantastic place to be right now because we're growing really fast in Europe. And more importantly, we've kind of, for me, it's like a do-over. We started with about 30 people 4.5 years ago when I joined Glassdoor. And that's about how many we had at the beginning of this year covering our European countries. So it's almost like I get to kind of live through the growth again. And that's really exciting.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely a good space to be in. You're the market leader in this space. And I think Glassdoor is probably the company that gets the most airtime on this podcast. People talk about how, you know, their Glassdoor strategy and their transparency strategy and so on. So it's good to have you on. Just a question on the name. Where does the name Glassdoor come from? I've heard of glass ceiling, but not sure about the door.
So the Glassdoor is the idea that when we first founded the company, when the founders first founded the company, they were thinking about, you know, sometimes if you could sort of peer through the window, or, you know, if you had a company that had glass doors and you could peer inside and see what was going on inside and get a better understanding of what was happening inside that company, then it would help you make better decisions about where you went to work. And so that was really the idea behind Glassdoor. It's that it allows you to look inside the company from the outside. And so that's basically the genesis of the name.
Okay. Cool. And if we look from a company's, from an organizational point of view, what challenges do employers come up against, which employee review sites like Glassdoor can tackle for them?
Well, I think there's a number of them, Jürgen, to be honest. The first one is that sometimes the company might not be known by the people they're trying to hire. We see this particularly in the Bay Area, actually, in the US, where you have so many startups coming along. And I'm sure the same is true here in London. And they're trying to make a name for themselves and get known as an employer of choice, but nobody's really heard of them. And so a site like Glassdoor can rapidly give people a sense as to what this company is like and showcase them as a really great employer. So that's a really good one. Another one I like is, you know, where a company's changed a lot, then sometimes there's a kind of hangover, if you like, of something that might have happened in the past that might have tainted of people's view of the company or their reputation as an employer. And that company's turned a corner, but people are still thinking about what they've heard in the past. And so, you know, a site like Glassdoor can help people understand what's going on at the company right now and then use that to make a better decision. There's a really good example of this, actually, which is HomeServe up in the Northwest. And they had a bit of a mis-selling scandal a few years ago. You know, they sell insurance policies for domestic appliances, boilers, central heating systems, that sort of stuff. And, you know, it was all over the newspapers and it created a little bit of a reputation for them. And since then, the whole senior management has changed. They've worked really hard to turn the company around, to build up a new culture and to make it a great place to work. And that shows through in their reviews on Glassdoor. You know, they got a 4.6 rating and their CEO was the fourth highest rated CEO in the UK on our list last year. And so it really helps companies like that get their message across that things have changed and they're a great place to work. So, you know, that's just a couple of reasons. And then, you know, also, you know, it's a great place to kind of find good quality people. So, you know, there's some of the ways that we can help.
So when you say find quality people, do you mean people applying or through Glassdoor.
Glassdoor, yeah. No, absolutely. Basically, what we find is the people who come to Glassdoor are people who want to make better decisions about where they go and work. So they could come at any point in the entire recruitment process, but they're coming here to do research. They might be coming to learn about the culture. They might be coming to learn about the interview process and prep for the interview. But what it means is that candidates who come through a site like Glassdoor or another review site, they tend to, first off, they've opted into you as a potential employer. They've looked at you and they've sussed you out and they've said, yeah, this is a place I actually really want to go and work. Secondly, they're probably better prepared. And that will show through in a number of ways. We all know that we like to talk to candidates at interviews who've done their homework and who know a bit about the company and who seem prepared. Our candidates will generally have that quality compared to potentially some other websites. And so they'll tend to go through the whole interview process better. They're more likely to get an offer. And if they get an offer, they're more likely to stick around in the job as well.
Okay, great. So the issue I've got here is that if you are a good employer in the first place, surely you will have that reputation anyway. And if you're a terrible employer, then Glassdoor and other review sites, that's just going to amplify the problems you've got. How do you address that?
Well, I think the important thing to think about is the mindset that people have in today's day and age. So you're absolutely right that review sites tend to be an amplification for your employer brand. In fact, I was actually at a conference in France last year, and the whole day was about social media and what it means for employer brands. And the title of the conference was that social media was basically an amplifier for employer brand. So it's a really interesting analogy. But I think, in today's day and age, people really turn to reviews on the internet to help them make decisions. If you think about choosing a restaurant or choosing a holiday or buying a television, almost nobody will do that nowadays without going and checking it out on TripAdvisor or on a reviews website for the TV to make sure they're making a good decision. They want the reassurance of what other people have said, and they almost trust those third-party voices more than their own experience. And so I think we really help to reinforce that. Also, a company might have a great reputation, but looking underneath that, what are the key things that make that up? What are the key points of difference that make someone a great employer? And through our reviews, people can understand that and find the company that's right for them, because, what's great for some people isn't always great for everybody else. And so what we're trying to do is also match people up to the jobs that are really going to be well suited for them. And that goes up and down the spectrum as well. Even employers that, potentially aren't as well regarded will often have some really good aspects to them. And so we can showcase that too.
Okay, right. So another challenge or an issue which sites like Amazon have experienced recently is that people write dodgy reviews, or, someone's selling something, someone's selling a service or a product, they'll get people on sites like Fiverr to write up dodgy 5-star reviews. Now, how can you ensure that doesn't happen for employers? I guess both for good reviews and for bad reviews.
Well, you're right. I mean, the integrity of data in a review website is really, really important. And so we have a multi-tier review process that we take very seriously. It involves both technology and a human touch. So when a review comes in, it's always moderated by technology to make sure that it meets our terms of use and terms of service and guidelines. And if there's any question marks about that, it goes through to a round of review by a team of human moderators who look at the content and determine if it meets our guidelines. It's interesting that people might not realize this, but we actually reject about 5 to 10% of all the content that's submitted to Glassdoor. It never makes it onto the website.
And what's the most common reason for not approving?
To be honest, I don't have a list of the most common reasons, but it will generally be things like either it will contain profanities, or it might breach our terms of service in as much as it might be making sort of ad hominem attacks on sort of middle management members of the company, which is absolutely something we don't allow. We don't feel people have signed up for that sort of that sort of kind of commentary on the internet when they take a job. But it's also, you know, it can be a wide range of things. I think the other important thing to bear in mind is that our users will typically look at 4 to 7 reviews before they form an opinion of the company. And, you know, people in this day and age, they're well used to dealing with user-generated content. They recognize that it can often have, you know, they can skew between the extremely positive, the extremely negative, and the reviews are somewhere in the middle, and people will look at a range of reviews and use that before, you know, making a judgment on a company. Just kind of like, you know, if I was going out to a restaurant, I might research it on Yelp or TripAdvisor, and I might read 3 or 4 reviews, you know, and if they all said, it's a lovely place, the food's fantastic, and especially the fish, but the service isn't that great, I'd have a pretty good idea of what it was going to be like, you know. Whereas reading one review might not give me that, but if I read a number, then you know, the true picture generally comes out, and we certainly find that when we talk to employers as well.
Yeah, it's funny when you're booking a holiday and you look on TripAdvisor, and if you start reading the really bad reviews, then in the end you just can't book anything because there's always someone who's had a terrible experience, isn't there?
But I think you would. But that's the thing, you'd never look at just the bad reviews if you were doing
right.
It.
You have to look at the aggregates.
You always look at just the good reviews, and I think people know how to use this kind of information now to make better informed decisions.
And so let's say a company has 10,000 employees. How many reviews should they have on TripAdvisor, sorry, Glassdoor, for it to be a relevant sample size?
I'm not sure. I haven't actually thought about it in that way in terms of kind of the coverage that a company needs to have a relevant sample size. I mean, I think the key thing is, you know, as I say, people look at about 4 to 7 reviews. You know, I think when the company typically has more than 25 reviews, it's starting to have a pretty representative sample normally, you know, unless something's changing, in which case, obviously, more recent reviews are much more important. But no, I haven't thought about it that way.
Okay. Right. So let me tell you about a big employer. That's L'Oreal, who I interviewed on this podcast a couple of months ago. And they're really into this, the whole transparency agenda. And they actually run an internal program for encouraging employees. So employees are happy or not happy, whatever the case is, they tell them how to write a review on Glassdoor and other sites, and they will actually actively look at the feedback and then try to improve the employee experience. Mm-hmm. Have you got any good tips for other companies that can encourage this type of transparency with their employees?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting you mentioned L'Oreal because, you know, we work very closely with them, and, you know, we really like what they're doing with employee transparency and the way that they're embracing it. I think, you know, the first thing I would say is, you know, if you're a company and you haven't claimed your Glassdoor profile, you should absolutely go out and do that. We have it's a thing called a free employer account. It's free, clues in the name. And what it does is it allows you to get involved in the conversation. It basically gives you the opportunity to respond to reviews, to edit some of the basic information about your company, change some of the photos. And the most important of those is respond to reviews. Because, you know, if you're not responding to reviews, it's like there's a conversation going on and you're not taking part. So, you know, in terms of that aspect, in terms of responding to reviews, I'd say, you know, both, you know, welcome all the feedback that you get, whether it's positive or negative. Someone told me at a conference last year, the expression they used was that feedback is a gift. You know, employees are taking the time to tell you how they feel about working at your company. And so you should acknowledge that and thank them for that. You know, whether it's good or whether it's bad, in a way that, you know, is respectful and makes sense. It's great to address specific comments. So if someone makes a comment about something, it's great to address that specifically and not kind of gloss over it with some sort of PR speak, because people, you know, if you do that, it just doesn't really validate the response that you've made. Respond quickly. It's pretty obvious. Amplify, you know, if there's positive points in the review, and there normally are, we always ask for pros and cons, then amplify what's positive. And then that's a great way to get involved in responding to reviews. And then, you know, like L'Oreal are doing, request more reviews. There's a tool that's actually built into this free employer account that allows you to pick employees from a list and basically email them a, you know, sort of template email that says, you know, we really value transparency. We'd love to know what's going on at the company. We'd love to hear about your experience. Please consider coming and leaving a review on Glassdoor. And I think when people do that, it really shows engagement. In fact, we've got a thing called Engaged Employer, which is a badge on the site. And that says, like, this person cares about transparency. They're engaged in the Glassdoor community. They're actively responding to reviews. And, you know, that I think sends a powerful signal out to people who are looking at you as an employer.
And currently on the leaderboard, what's the most engaged employer?
Gosh, all these questions, I don't know the answers to.
or just give me an idea of what type of companies.
L'Oreal is a great example, actually. They are really engaged. They're really trying to engage with their employees globally to get more feedback on Glassdoor. They'd be a good example of someone who's pretty forward-looking.
Great. Okay, so they're a great example. But if we flip it, where do you see companies doing this wrong? What's the number one mistake do you see employees doing?
The number one mistake is basically being defensive and essentially not acknowledging that the feedback is valid, and basically saying, "Hey, you know," leaving a response review that basically says, You're just wrong. It's not like that. Because it comes across as very defensive and very negative. Whereas, you know, there are better ways to respond to reviews that might not be positive, which is to, you know, acknowledge that maybe not everything's perfect, that you're working to change things, and to really then, you know, emphasize some of the things that are good about the employer.
Okay, great. And to get good reviews, sentiment and general perception on social, I think I alluded to this earlier, but surely you have to start internally and actually be a good employer.
Yes, I would certainly agree with that, Jürgen. I think that is the best place to start is to be a good employer. And, you know, if there are things that maybe have happened in your past, you know, maybe you've had a management turnaround that mean that you're not a great employer right now, then, you know, you want to be working on that journey. All that Glassdoor or sites like us really do is provide a window into what's going on inside the company. You know, so if what's going on inside the company is good, everything is going to look good. If what's going on inside the company is not so good, you know, things won't look so good.
So if you've got issues to work on right now, would you say, let's go into Glassdoor and find out what these issues are? Or would you try and look at this internally first and, you know, get yourself into a better shape before you start doing a Glassdoor campaign?
Well, I'd certainly come to Glassdoor and see what people are saying, because, you know, your employer brand is basically what people are saying about you when you're not in the room. You know, it's what people are talking about. It's what people say about you, you know, when you're not there. And so we provide a great window to employers onto, you know, what might really be going on at their company and what the sentiment of that company might be. And so you should absolutely come and look at it. And then think about whether there are ways that you can, you know, work to address that. And that could be, you know, that could be through working on internal processes. It could be by emphasizing some of the things that are positive. And maybe that would be through, you know, a paid relationship with Glassdoor. And maybe it would just be kind of like working through it on a free basis.
Okay, great. So this is called a social media know-how podcast. So I need to ask a couple of social questions. What social and digital channels do you think work best for employee transparency?
For employee transparency, I've been thinking about this question more from a broad transparency perspective. You know, obviously, I think Glassdoor is great for an employee transparency basis. I haven't got a huge number of other sites to directly speak to that.
Would you call Glassdoor a social media channel?
We're social in as much as people are talking about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think what's really important is that conversation then amplifies itself away from Glassdoor. Once that information is out there, it gets amplified, it finds its way into the world. In fact, one of the guys who founded Glassdoor is a guy called Rich Barton. He founded Expedia and Zillow as well. And Zillow is a bit like Zoopla. But in the US, it gives people information on home prices. And in all of these instances, what's happening is information that was previously hidden away or not widely known is becoming much more widely known. And then once that happens, it gets disseminated as well, because people will share things that are going on. So, you know, a savvy social employer would take a Glassdoor message about their employment brand, and then they might link to it from their career page, or they might tweet about it or put it on Facebook. And this is going to happen, you know, whether or not you as an employer get involved. There was a survey that Weber Shandwick did in 2014, and out of 2,300 people they talked to worldwide, 50% said they'd posted something about their employer on social media, and 39% had said they'd shared something positive. And you know, so that's really interesting, is that these positive messages are getting about you, are getting out into the world through your employees, you know, mainly through Facebook and Twitter, and maybe a little bit through LinkedIn as well. And you know, that makes sense to me. You know, people really, they spend a lot of time at work. They want to feel validated, and they want to feel they're working in a great place. And so it's only natural that they'll share this stuff externally to get external validation from their friends and colleagues.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd probably say that just from a ease perspective, that it's the easiest place to listen for this transparency would probably be Twitter, because it's an open public platform, whereas Facebook and LinkedIn are a bit harder to search through. So that's a good place to start if any employers are listening. Right, my next question is the ROI question. So the good news about you guys is that I guess leaders within organizations, they get a score. The CEO gets a score, and the company gets an overall score, and so on. But how do you calculate the ROI for companies using Glassdoor, and how do you measure it versus, I mean, there are other measurements like Universum rankings, LinkedIn Talent Brand Index, and so on?
Yeah, so you know, I think there's some ROI is important, and it's important also to recognize the importance of this subject. So, you know, amongst millennials, for example, you know, 76% of people say culture and fit is really important when choosing an employer. And that's more than career potential. It's more than compensation. The other thing that I think is important about employer branding in general, and, you know, at Glassdoor, we certainly think we contribute to this, is it basically makes all of your other channels you're advertising in more effective. You know, if you've got a strong employer brand that people says good things about you, that people makes people want to go work there, then when they see an ad for you in whatever channel or medium that might be, they're going to be more inclined to come and work for you. So you know, that shows through across the board. In terms of Glassdoor specifically, there's a number of things that our clients have told us. You know, we have a number of clients who share some of their information with us, and they've told us things like, you know, the quality of the applicants that they see through Glassdoor is twice as good as through other channels. So they can interview half as many candidates to get a hire compared to other channels that they work for. We have employer pages, and, you know, so do other sites, and ours have about 3 times more influence compared to other leading channels. We find that, you know, if you look at the number of people who will come to the page for a given company on Glassdoor compared to the page for that given company on another site, like, say, LinkedIn, employers have told us it's between 3 and 10 times as many people coming to the Glassdoor page. And so that's really kind of showing some of the impact that we have. And then, you know, finally, you know, people who've engaged with us and bought our solutions are reporting that they see a 30% lower cost per hire on average than on other channels. And the main reason for that is that, you know, like I said before, candidates come to Glassdoor, they do their research, and then they effectively proactively screen themselves in or out,
right,
yeah, whether or not they want to work with you.
Yeah, that makes very good sense. Yeah, just like B2B buyers, well, any buyer nowadays, they're very well informed before they even get in touch. And right, so let's look at the competitive landscape. What are your thoughts on Viadeo in France, Kununu in German-speaking regions, Love Mondays in Brazil?
Well, I think the first thing I think is really interesting is that these companies are popping up or expanding all over the place and moving into the reviews area more and more. And I think what that shows to me is that there's actually huge appetite for this sort of information from people all across the world. You know, they all do something slightly different. Some of them, you know, there are companies that are, you know, carbon copies of Glassdoor right down to the color palette. Particularly there's one in Japan that springs to mind when you think about that. But then there's companies that do things really differently as well. And I think the most interesting ones are the ones that are very tailored to their market. So for example, in Japan, there's a company that, you know, is very Glassdoor-like. You review your company, but it has a whole bunch of features that we don't have here in the West. So, for example, you can rate the potential for office romance, or how attractive the female workers are or the male workers are within the office, which I just can't envisage having something like that in the US or the UK, but I'm guessing this is well tailored to the Japanese market. I think, you know, looking at it from a graph, you know, these companies all do something slightly different, and they, you know, they're all quite good at what they do. What makes Glassdoor, I think, unique is that we're the only global player in this space. So we've got global scale and we've got momentum. We're actually the fastest growing job site in the US right now. And it's all we do, you know. So it's people like Viadeo and Xing, who own Kununu, they started off as sort of local LinkedIn competitors in Europe, and then moving into the review space. And you know, I can understand why they want to do that. You know, workplace reviews and interview reviews and giving people the information they need to make better jobs is the only thing that we do, and so we really focus on that. And I think that makes us different. And also, you know, if you're an employer and you want to manage your brand on a global basis, Glassdoor is the place to come to because we can help you do that. Whereas these are other solutions, they tend to be local. You know, they may be very good in one or two markets, but they don't give you a global thing. And, you know, and if you're a job seeker, we can tell you what it's like to work at Google in 41 different countries around the world. And, you know, that's kind of neat, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Can you tell us the names of these Japanese players?
I believe it might be called Kanjun.jp, but I could be wrong.
And the other one?
I don't know that, but I can get back to you and you can put a link in.
I will do, yeah. I'm dying to check them out. All right, so now the big question. How long before LinkedIn start doing these type of employer reviews?
To be honest, I've no idea. They haven't shown any particular inclination towards doing it to date. You know, it's difficult to, it's, you know, it's not really for me to speculate on what their strategy might be. You know, they seem to be very focused on, you know, the Lynda app acquisition right now and moving them towards kind of that education and integrating it into education.
But do you, if they switch that on, do you think that I mean, they would be a serious competitor to Glassdoor?
Well, I think, you know, again, you know, coming back to the point I made before, this is at the heart of what we do. You know, all we do is provide workplace transparency, and we do it very much with the job seeker in mind. You know, at its heart, you know, we are in the service of the job seeker. We're helping them make better decisions about where they go and work and find a job in a company they love. So that means that, you know, we really want to have a vibrant discussion going on Glassdoor, you know, that talks about the negatives and talks about the positives and isn't compromised by any other relationships that might exist with employers. And, you know, we're uniquely placed to do that because this is our core business. You know, I'm not sure whether, you know, other companies coming into this would, you know, be in quite the same, you know, be able to be quite as free in that respect.
Yeah, that's a good point. Right. And so if we look at employers that inspire yourself on social, digital and in the transparency space. Now, you mentioned L'Oreal already, so let's hear a couple of other ones.
Okay. I'll give you a few. They're not all Glassdoor clients. So, you know, one that I was really surprised about when I was over in France was Carrefour, actually. I was on this panel at this conference I mentioned about employer transparency and or employee transparency, workplace transparency. And, you know, Thierry, who leads the recruitment team for Carrefour, was with me. And he basically did my job for me in terms of stealing all my talking points, which is great because his French is much better than mine. And he, you know, he talked about how they respond to reviews, they tweet them out, that they really don't worry when they get a negative review because they know that they're a good employer and the natural instincts of their people will be to come to the company's defense. And so they said that, you know, they find if someone leaves a negative review, generally about two positive reviews will pop up to rebut it. And that's exactly what our experience is, which is that 2/3 of all the reviews left on Glassdoor were positive. And so I thought that was really interesting. you know, to hear that going on in a country where, you know, we've only started recently, and to hear one of the largest employers in that country basically embracing all that we do. Other ones who are great, you know, Auto Trader in the UK really embraces transparency, and they have a link back to their Glassdoor reviews on their career page to say, hey, you know, don't just take our word for it. See what people are saying on Glassdoor. And then, you know, we worked quite closely with Harrods. And that's an interesting one to me because that's a really old, really established brand. And you might think that they'd be very conservative about this sort of stuff. But instead, they've really embraced transparency. They've seen it as something they need to embrace if they're going to get the top talent that they want to be a leading retailer in the 21st century. And that's really interesting.
Yeah, I think Harrods, it surprised me as well. They are very forward-thinking on social in general, so good for them.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And if we look at into the crystal ball, what's the next big thing in the employer transparency space that perhaps nobody's doing quite yet?
I don't have anything that – the next big thing that nobody's doing
– or very few.
I'll talk about one thing that we've just started doing that I think is going to be – a big trend in general, though, which is integrating the job search and user-generated content. So we've recently launched a feature which we call Job View, which basically gives you, as you scroll through the jobs, you see the job description, and alongside the job description, you see all of the key information that's coming from their Glassdoor review, their star rating, a review snippet, some information about the interview process, and it's putting everything right there at the hands of the job seeker, which is making it even easier for them to make decisions quickly about which jobs to apply for and which jobs not to. You know, I mean, I think more broadly, there's a lot of effort to try to understand what's going on socially, and I think sort of some of these sort of like sentiment analyses tools are quite interesting. Like, it's more like a sort of daily pulse check or weekly pulse check of employee sentiment, which isn't, you know, something that Glassdoor offers right now. I think that's a sort of interesting development in terms of, like, you know, how are my people feeling on a week-to-week basis or a month-to-month basis, and how can I push that down to the team level? Because it gives managers a real-time pulse check on kind of like how things are going.
On your previous note there, the plug-in reviews, would that be on your Glassdoor site, or would that also plug into like a career site, for instance?
Well, right now it's something that we've launched on Glassdoor because we think it's really helpful. I could imagine that being part of a broader trend because it does give people a lot more useful information than, you know, just a basic job description. You know, if you think about it, you know, there's a spectrum of information about the job you're applying for, particularly here in the UK, from, you know, an agency job that sort of says, my client is blah, 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 and the role involves X, Y, Z, and you don't even know who you're applying to work for, through to, you know, this job is with this company, and they're rated on this basis, and they're good at this thing, and they're bad at this thing, and here's what people are saying about them. Do you want to apply or not? And so I just think it's interesting that, you know, there's this sort of spectrum of transparency right at the application point right now.
Yeah, that's really powerful. And I interviewed someone the other week about e-commerce, so social commerce, and it's exactly the same thing. When you buy a top, for instance, on ASOS, you see other people's reviews, and you can see their Instagram pictures of them wearing it and so on. So it's nice that there is some third-party validation of where
your decision. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just helps you kind of go, I'm making a good choice here.
Yeah. Great. Okay, final question. Where can we learn more about yourself, Dermot, and Glassdoor in general?
Well, great place to start is to go to the Glassdoor website. If you're in the UK, it's glassdoor.co.uk, and we have local extensions for Germany and France and most of the countries in Europe. If you're an employer and you want to learn more about the specific solutions that we have, I would go to the exact same place, but add /employers at the end of that, and that will take you directly through to our employer center, which talks about all of the solutions that we have, some of the best practices for how to respond to reviews, gives you some basic, allows you to sign up for a free account if you haven't already done so, and gives you some basic information into kind of what's going on at your company. And then if you're a little bit more geeky and data minded, we've also got a great blog on our website that's written by our chief economist, Dr. Andrew Chamberlain. And that takes our 11 million pieces of data and tries to use it to provide insights into the workplace in ways that people might not already have done so. So there's some research on kind of the interview process, for example, and also a piece we did that ran yesterday. In fact, we got a nice 2-page spread in the Evening Standard that talked about how, you know, when you take out all of the other factors, women are still paid 5% less than men for the exact same job, you know, even accounting for seniority and tenure and all of that stuff. And there's a whole host of research there as well, which just provides great insights into what's going on in the workplace.
Great. And yourself, how you're on Twitter and LinkedIn, I see.
I'm on Twitter and LinkedIn, yes.
We are connected, actually.
Twitter. I'm a sporadic tweeter, but I'm on LinkedIn as well, yes.
Great. So, Dermot Russell, many thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Jürgen. It's great.
There you have it, folks. Do you think online employer reviews will be the norm moving forwards? Will LinkedIn throw their big hat in the ring? Or maybe even Facebook? I think it's a very interesting space, so that's for sure. And yeah, we'll have to get Dermot back on the show for an update at some point. And Dermot, I'm ever so sorry for saying Glassdoor, and even TripAdvisor, of course, it's Glassdoor. But at least we all now know the origins of the name Glassdoor. And also a correction from Dermot, that Japanese platform is actually called JobTalk. And the second one he talked about is happens to be Chinese, and it's called Kamzoon. And don't worry about all these names and links, because they will be in the show notes article that accompanies this podcast. And finally, this week's big shout is going out to Christy Fedura of The Perfect Circle, and also the organizer of the Community Manager London meetups. First off, Christy was interviewed last year on this podcast, and she also left us an honest review on iTunes, which we thank you very much for. And finally, her upcoming meetup is all about visual content and features our very own Lawrence Hebbard as the speaker. So big thanks goes out to Christy Fedura, and you can find her on Twitter at CFIDURA UK, so C Fedura UK, or look through the community manager London hashtag, which is CMGRLDN hashtag. And of course, that will be in the show notes as well. Now, do you want to shout out on this podcast? Leave us an honest review on iTunes or on the podcast app, and be sure to let us know. That is it, my friends. Many thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jürgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.
I think from a word of wisdom perspective, people should relax about the job search. Most job search processes, they have a way of working out for the best, because ultimately it's all about fit. So, you know, if you don't get the job, it probably wasn't the right thing for you. And, you know, I really do believe that there's a great job out there for everybody.